A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 81. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion of Moonbase 3. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, Moonbase 3, a European research moon base, a show from the 70s, which was quite a hard science fiction show with lots of technical realism about the difficulties and perils of moon exploration and moon research and living in a cramped base on the moon.
Yes, and Moonbase 3 was made in 1973, actually set 30 years in the future in 2003. It ran for 6 50-minute episodes on the BBC, and it was a co-production with ABC in the US and also a co-production with 20th Century Fox.
And as you say, 6 episodes with sort of standalone stories. But as we discussed last time, Brian, there are some linking plot threads running through them that sort of tie things together. And the stories deal with the sort of ongoing research projects of Moonbase 3 and some of the difficulties they encounter with those, and also the associated stresses and strains of living on the moon and trying to just exist so far from Earth. And we have the setup of Moonbase 3 being one of 5 research bases on the moon by 2003. We learn that there's Moonbase 1, which is the Americans. Moonbase 2 is the Russians. Then Moonbase 3 is our European research center. And then there's 2 more. Moonbase 4 is Chinese, and Moonbase 5 is a Brazilian outfit. So no space for the Canadians, apparently, Brian.
Apparently not, but I really like how they developed that. And these choices of the different moon bases, of course, are very dated now, but were very much rooted in what made sense in 1973. And I thought it was a really neat way of doing that those things were included. And in addition to the research projects that they were doing and all of these interpersonal issues and stresses and things, they also dealt with some of the political issues with the different countries running these different moon bases. They certainly talked to the Americans on Moonbase 1 and the Russians on Moonbase 2 quite a bit. And you also have Moonbase 3 struggling with a limited budget and with the equipment they have, because of course it's so expensive to bring up new equipment. So they're always struggling with the equipment they have, and it's sometimes not in the greatest repair, and they have to repair things. And it's very much a type of thing where they're dealing with having to do a lot with what they have, and they're put under pressure from the various European countries to produce research results and to produce lots of impressive things with the relatively limited resources that they have.
Yes, and we get the impression that Moonbase 3 is perhaps not the best funded of the 5 bases, Brian.
Yes, they certainly talk about how the Americans and the Russians have much better funding and are able to do things a little better and have better equipment. You also get into some good technology ideas and things that seem still fairly current in how some of the spacecraft work and the space station and airlocks and so forth. And then you get things like the idea of mainframe computing and timeshare computing in a very early 70s type of way. So you have the mix of things that were very much of that present time from 1973, and also things that were looking forward in how things were done with space and looking forward along the lines of the Apollo program and so on. So you had an interesting mix of things there.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, they do try to keep it very scientific and very technically accurate. We did notice one little sort of dramatic license that they had to introduce, which is that although the astronauts bounce around outside on the moon surface in moon gravity, when they're in Moonbase 3, they walk around quite normally, and we see at one moment a little box on the wall which just says artificial gravity on. So I think that was just a little bit of magic, as it were, to help the producers out, so they didn't have to have moon gravity within the base itself.
Yes, they used very few things like that, and I guess that was one that maybe they didn't tell James Burke, their scientific advisor, about. But they just used sort of normal movements on the interior, and then outside they did more of a lunar thing with the bouncing around and so on. But that was one of very few points where they sort of went out there and made that concession to making it look normal on the inside.
So as we've said, we've got this fairly scientific basis. We've got these research projects going on. And then they produce the stories, the six stories, which, as we've sort of suggested, deal with the problems of experiments going wrong, research projects failing, budgetary problems, and, as you say, Brian, the need to produce results quickly, plus all the psychological fallout from the pressure that these inhabitants of Moonbase 3 are under all the time.
And we do get some explosions and the odd depressurization and rumors of aliens and things to stir things up a bit. It's certainly not a show where you get monsters and things coming in, but they do have some different things like that to mix things up a little bit too.
Okay, so let's try and give you an idea of some of the stories to see if we can interest you in watching this series. In our last episode, we discussed the first episode of Moonbase 3, which was Departure and Arrivals, and dealt with the investigation of a terrible accident and the arrival of the new director, David Calder, for Moonbase 3. Then there was an episode called Behemoth, which concerned a mysterious accident on the moon's surface, a research project that seems to have gone wrong, and it raises the possibility that there may be some form of alien life on the moon that may be interfering with the experiments. And that's sort of, as you say, rumors of aliens to stir things up a bit, Brian.
Yeah, just things that are introduced and left in a very puzzling sort of way that you don't understand what this could be. So they had a little bit of mystery in there that was nice.
Absolutely. There was an episode called Castor and Pollux, which again dealt with a shuttle accident. And this one left one of the main characters, Tom Hill, stranded in a shuttle, were unable to return to Moonbase 3. And it left the crew of Moonbase 3 absolutely racing against the clock to try and rescue him in time. So that was quite a tense and dramatic episode with some interesting stuff, and Moonbase 3 having to try and forge alliances with some of the other moon bases to try and effect a rescue for Tom.
Yes, it was something that added to the idea that traveling around in space in capsules and living on the moon, these are dangerous things. And they're things that people have accepted the dangers of, but there are also situations where things go wrong. And by bringing it up a couple of times in different episodes, it was something that was pretty good about this show, that it kept that feeling of the dangers of space in there, which was nice.
Yep. A tricky place out there on Moonbase 3.
Absolutely. The final episode, episode 6, was View of a Dead Planet, which involved a visiting scientist warning that this new experiment that they were about to run on Earth could possibly wipe out all life on Earth. And in fact, this experiment goes ahead while the scientist is still there, and they lose contact with Earth. And it becomes unclear, is Earth still alive, or did they somehow lose everything? And of course, being the final episode, we're not quite sure either. And that had some interesting things and sort of brought the whole level of the stresses of people to an entirely different level, which was very interesting. This was my favorite episode in the series. And it also featured Michael Goff as the visiting scientist. And He, of course, is a very good British actor who was well known for playing the Celestial Toymaker on Doctor Who in the 60s and went on to play the butler for Batman in the 80s and 90s movies.
And it's a good episode. He gives a good turn. And as you say, the crew of Moonbase 3 believe that they may actually be stranded, possibly maybe the last humans alive. So it's quite a tense episode, and seeing how they react to that possibility is quite interesting stuff.
I realize that whoever goes on this trip will probably
die. Do you still boggle at the idea? Of course they will die. Everybody will die. That is not the point.
And what is the point?
The point is that you'll be giving those left on this base hope.
Well, is that so bad?
When men give up all hope of living, they accept death and become gentle.
So we've said it was an attempt to produce a very serious science fiction program for the 70s, building on the success or the sort of audience interest in the Apollo program. And as such, it was heavily promoted by the BBC as a very realistic look at what space research would be like in the 21st century. And again, it was trailed in the BBC magazine, the Radio Times, with an article by the science correspondent James Burke, who'd been a technical advisor on the series. So they tried very hard to push the series to the audience.
Yes, it was considered a big deal, and it had 6 million viewers for the first episode, which I believe was quite good for something like this. But it trailed off over the course of things after that. And it was later described by Terrence Dix, the script editor, and one of the showrunners for this, was described by him as being too restrictive a format, with no sense of wonder or outrageousness. And he considered it to be a failure.
Which is interesting, because as you say, he was one of the creators of this show, and later on has gone back and looked at it himself and commented, as you say, that it may have been a failure, although a heroic one, perhaps. It's an interesting show. It was only 6 episodes, but it's fairly influential, I think. It certainly may have influenced a later show called Star Cops, which was on British TV, and that you covered, Brian, with Xander way back in British Invaders episode 2, I think.
Yes, 70-some episodes ago.
Yep.
Star Cops definitely has a similar feel to Moonbase 3. The look of it and the approach with having the moon base and that type of claustrophobia, there are definitely similarities there. I think in many ways, Star Cops improved on the formula. They added more science fiction elements to it with issues of cloning and computer viruses and things like this on a sort of weekly basis. They introduced those regularly and kept it on a sort of hard science fiction type of feel. They increased the pace a little bit and sort of added the police investigations, but there is definitely a pattern there that is quite similar.
Okay. I also thought I saw elements of a later show called Space 1999 in it as well, which was a Gerry Anderson show. And obviously, if you know Space 1999, it was a much more fantastical show, far more wonder and outrageousness in that than in Moonbase 3. But there's some similar elements about life on a moon base, I think, Brian.
Yes, I think that's right. And it was only made 2 or 3 years later.
Yeah. So we should talk about the good and the bad bits of Moonbase 3, what we liked and what we didn't like quite so much. How do we want to begin, Brian?
Okay, this is an interesting one and a tricky one to talk about this. We have mentioned some of our preferences as we've gone along. I think this show had a lot going for it. I really liked how the science was used, and I liked how they did the tension and claustrophobia of these people being stuck in this moon base, and the emphasis on all the psychological stress and having a psychiatrist as a main character, and the idea that they were constantly dealing with these stress issues, both with the environment and interpersonal. That was something that I thought really worked well.
Yeah, it was lots of interesting elements there. I liked the way that they used a multinational approach, which I thought gave a very commendable view of the future for a programme that was made in the early 70s. And it was nice to see them cooperating with both the Americans and the Russians. So I think that was quite interesting and, you know, very brave of them for that time.
Yes, how they dealt with the Russians was interesting because there was clearly a bit of a Cold War sentiment going on there in that they dealt with the Russians, but they were always just a little bit on edge doing that, but still demonstrated some friendship there. And Tom Hill, one of the characters, had friendship with one of the people on the Russian moon base, and the two of them would call each other and play chess over the communication line and so on.
Yep. I mean, likewise, as well as the, you know, commendable political approach, they were also pretty good on gender politics for the 70s, in that they had very prominent roles for women on Moonbase, particularly with Dr. Smith, the psychiatrist. Unfortunately, they do slightly undermine it occasionally by using slightly sexist phrases to refer to the women, particularly Tom Hill, who refers to them all as love, or sometimes says, you know, that woman.
Yes, there was a little bit of that, it's true. But I think you're right that on the whole, they dealt with that pretty well.
Yeah.
The look of the interiors, I think, were decent. They were pretty good.
The interior sets are good. There's not too much wobble. They all look pretty sort of like hard, sensible sets that work quite well.
And the moonwalking sequences were also done quite well, certainly for their time. But in general, I thought the moonwalking was done pretty well.
Yes, they were. Although we do note that there were some letters in the Radio Times in the 1970s complaining about the bouncing moon rocks. When the astronauts landed, the moon rocks would jump up in the air slightly. But, you know, as you say, not bad for the time. So a good effort at low-gravity moonwalking.
Now, as far as the individual stories go, I don't know how you felt, Eamon, but I felt that this was a show that really improved over the course of its run. I found the first couple of episodes to be pretty weak, but each episode seemed to be a little better than its predecessor, without exception, actually. And by the third or fourth episode, I was quite liking the stories and quite liking the characters and the performances as well. There was really a marked difference there, I thought, where at the beginning, I was sort of struggling with it and didn't think it was all that great. But by episode three, I found it fairly watchable, and by the last episode, it was something that I really quite liked, that I thought they dealt with the stresses and interpersonal things in the final episode. I thought they did that very well. Consistency was a problem. It would have been nice to see them start out a little bit more like the last three, four episodes.
Yes, it is a bit strange. It's six episodes, and yet it takes quite some time to get going. And I might actually say that it's probably only the last two episodes where it really starts to excite our interest and give us some of that wonder and outrageousness that Terence Dix was looking for.
Yes, the sort of out there qualities and pushing more into the fantasy or further out into science fiction was definitely something that they were doing more in those last couple episodes. But as a character drama and showing this tension and dealing with the situations and that kind of thing, I felt that sort of by those middle couple episodes, it was decent.
Yeah. And it's all round good performances, I think, from the actors. There's no standout weak actors, I think. You did mention that, you know, the multinational crew leads to some slightly dodgy accents from time to time, perhaps. But apart from that, it's pretty good, I think, Brian.
Yeah, there were a couple of the major characters that I thought in episode one and to a certain extent in episode two were not that great. The lead character, David Calder, I thought was great by the time they got to about the third episode. But in the first episode, I found him a little hard to watch. And same with one or two of the others. But certainly, as they proceeded, I thought they all handled it very competently.
Yeah. And while we're looking at the actors, there's another bit of Doctor Who trivia that I spotted for us. In the first episode, Departure and Arrival, if you look carefully, you will see that the The former director of Moonbase 3 is played by an actor called Michael Wisher.
Davros himself.
And also, if you look carefully, you'll see another actor in a minor role, a chap called Peter Miles, and who was in Genesis of the Daleks with Michael Wisher, playing Davros's scientist assistant, Nida.
That's right.
So, a little bit of Doctor Who trivia in the first episode of Moonbase 3.
Yes, I think there were one or two other appearances in common with Doctor Who, but those were certainly ones that were very noticeable.
Bored to death, but we don't need any entertainment, do we? Because we're dedicated.
Precisely, my dear Tom. And when they do decide to send us a visitor, they don't send us Miss World or even a runner-up. They send us an octogenarian scientist.
I know, yeah. Let's try the old...
So if, after hearing us discuss it, you want to actually try and get hold of Moonbase 3, what's the situation with availability, Brian?
Well, it's just slightly convoluted. The original tapes were actually wiped after broadcast in 1973, which was what the BBC was doing at the time. That was sort of in the big time when things were being lost. And it was lost and considered to be gone permanently until 1993, so 20 years later, when it was found in the archives of 20th Century Fox. They had been a co-producer, and they had kept a copy on file, so it was still around.
And quite amazingly, when it was found, it was then put out the next year on VHS in 1994 in three separate tapes. I think because we're watching a copy of the original master, we do notice some slight videotape ghosting in from time to time in some of the episodes, I think. There's an occasional error on the tape, perhaps, Brian?
Yes, on the DVD versions, I think it's not bad. There's a little bit, but for the most part, it's not bad.
Yes, they probably cleaned it up a bit because in 2002, we then got a Region 2 DVD release. Of all six episodes, no extras, I think, just the episodes themselves. Unfortunately, that 2002 release is now deleted and is quite expensive to find secondhand. In fact, if you have the ability to still play VHS, you might find it cheaper to buy the three VHS tapes, which are much easier to get hold of on Amazon Marketplace.
Yes, I think I may have got one of the last cheap copies of the DVDs used.
And here in the UK, you can still rent it on Love Film, so that's probably the easiest way to get hold of it if you use that service.
And of course, we should say that there are basically no extras on those DVDs. It's pretty well bare bones. And of course, there is no Region 1 release of Moonbase 3.
However, you can, if you search for Moonbase 3, you may find some of the video up on YouTube. Certainly, when I looked, the first 10 minutes of the first episode were up there. But actually, on searching today, I found that somebody had posted the entirety of the first episode on YouTube. Whether that will stay up for any length of time, I don't know, but it might be worth looking.
Keep in mind, the first episode is what I think both of us decided was the weakest one.
Yeah, but you may be able to get a sample up on YouTube before you decide whether to rent or try and track down a copy.
Absolutely. So I think that brings us to our recommendations. Eamon, what would you recommend?
Well, I'm going to go with Terence Dicks on this one. I think his summation was probably about right, that Moonbase 3 was a failure, but it was a heroic failure. They were trying to do something very serious and scientific. If you remember the excitement of the Apollo program and all the television coverage, if you want to see how the BBC attempted to make a drama series around that sort of time, then yes, track down Moonbase 3. But it's not great. It's not one of my favorite things that we watch for British Invaders. Brian.
Okay, I think I'll give a little bit of a stronger recommendation than that. It is an interesting series. I really like that last episode a lot. And in fact, in many ways, it did not work. That's true. But the last three or four episodes are quite interesting, and I find it's worth watching. It's certainly not at the top of any of my lists, but it's an interesting one. And if you're interested in this type of, shall we say, hard science fiction or science-oriented sort of near-future space travel science fiction, it's an interesting one to check out. So it might be worth it to find a copy, to see what it was like and to get some of those later quite interesting episodes and to see what they did with them.
Okay.
And I would say definitely go on to track down StarCops if you can when you're done, because it I think StarCops did do a much better job of handling a similar sort of format.
Okay. So a slightly split decision again on British Invaders. And as ever, if you want to have the casting vote, please come and join us on Facebook and tell us what you think about Moonbase 3.
I think we're sitting at half a thumb up or something.
Yes.
So, in summary, Moonbase 3 was a six-episode 1973 science fiction series that dealt with a moon base 30 years in the future, with a variety of scientists located there doing scientific experiments and living their lives, and it dealt with the experiments and some of the fallout with their experiments, and it dealt with some politics, and especially it dealt with the stresses and strains that they were dealing with their environment and interpersonal tensions and stresses.
An interesting attempt to the hard science show from the 1970s. If you watch it, please let us know what you think.
Absolutely.
And please come back and join us next time when we are jumping forward to the 1990s and switching channels to ITV to look at a post-apocalyptic thriller called The Last Train. Although in North America, I believe it was called Cruel Earth, Brian.
I believe that's right, yeah.
So, more post-apocalyptic stuff next time. Come back and join us. And if you've seen The Last Train, please post your comments on Facebook and we'll try and include them in our reviews.
You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thanks very much. And we look forward to your company next time. Until then, this is Eamon in England saying goodbye.